Rock Church of Petersburg. So excited about the Christmas Scrooge. Amen. I believe people need hope in this hour, don't they? Especially this year. I want to talk to you tonight, and the title of this message is Because of Who You Are. There was a song written about 15 years ago, and that was the title of it, Because of Who You Are. You know, when I think about the word who and what it has to deal with, it has to deal with the person, the personality, the character of someone. It has to do with a name. And you know, it's interesting in the days we live in, if you bring up the name of Jesus, you know, people have a lot of opinions of who he was. Well, some say, well, he was a carpenter, and some say, well, he was a nice man. Yes, he was a prophet. He fed the poor. I mean, you get so many different answers on who Jesus is today. And I want to take this text from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Lord, bless your word tonight. Feed us from heaven, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of God." That was only two descriptions of who he is. But yet those two descriptions of who Christ is the key for all men to get to heaven. Think about this. This question of who Jesus is determines whether a person goes to heaven or not. So Jesus said, "Well, what's everybody saying about me? Who do they think I am?" He wasn't saying, you know, what do they think of my miracles or what do they think about feeding the poor? He goes, "Who are men saying I am?" Because that is the eternal question. You see, Jesus wants to be known, amen. He wants all men to know that he's the Christ, the anointed one, and the Son of God. The anointed one, the Son of God who became the Lamb of God. I have found out the revelation of Christ is ever flowing from heaven. That not only is he the Christ, the Son of the living God, but there's much more of who he is. He's King of Kings. He's Lamb of God. He's the Great Shepherd. You see, a believer has a passion and a hunger to know Jesus consistently and continually. And Peter hit the nail on the head. Amen. But Jesus wants to be known. You see, men were making a conclusion who he was. Some said, "Well, I know he's John the Baptist." No, no, no. Another one said, "No, I know he's Elijah." Another one said, "No, he's not. I know who he is. He's John the Baptist." Guess what? They were all wrong. Amen. Guess what? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can one preach lest be sent? You see, a preacher's job is to be one who bears the understanding that every man must know Jesus Christ in his fullness. You see, men, they were making his identity wrong. You know, there's something in us that wants others to know the real us. There's something inside of us that wants someone to know who we really are. You see, who I am under great stress is not who I am. Who I am when I'm exhausted is not who I am. Who I am is when I'm in the presence of God and those external things which try to deter from who I am are gone. That's why you can love people even though they treat you ugly. That's probably not who they are. They're probably hurt and bitter. So what we do is we don't embrace others because we try to judge, well, no, that's Elijah. No, that's this. That's this one. But only God knows the heart of a person. Only God knows someone if they didn't have those external things that were tormenting them, who they really are. That's why we must have much patience with each other and kindness. You know, marriage can't last if we can't see past the tiredness and stress and issues we're still working through. There's got to be a genuine love there that's patient and doesn't record wrongs. Who am I talking to? You see, Jesus wants to be known. Men likened him to other men. Well, no, that's not who he is. You know, I begin to think, why would they liken him to these other men? Well, we know that John the Baptist, he spoke repentance, and maybe they thought he was just preaching repentance. Maybe they thought he was Elijah and had great power with God because he did miracles. It's interesting here that although the revelation seems so apparent, that Peter was the only one that got it. Thank God for Peter, amen. Thank God for men and women of God in decades and centuries before that had a revelation of Christ. Thank God for John Huss, who took a bold stand to help write the Bible, to help translate it. The price he paid was he was burned at the stake. And when William Tyndale was part of that, he also, Tyndale Company, he started years, he wrote that years ago, but John Huss, as he was there burning, he had a group of those he had discipled, and they sang as he died, "Fairest Lord Jesus," which had been written in Germany 50 years before. "Fairest Lord Jesus, Ruler of all nature, Son of God and Son of man." You see, he had a revelation. They had a revelation of how fair and wonderful Jesus is. Many went on to be great preachers, teachers, and miracle workers from that moment. All of us want to be known. You know, when Debbie and I first got married, we didn't know each other. We really didn't. We kind of married an image of what we thought somebody was. She didn't realize when she married me that I had faults. She was just blinded by love, you know. She didn't see any faults until then. And I hid a lot of them, amen. But you know, she's realized during the years who I really am. And I realized who she really is. It takes time to know somebody. Why do you think after we get saved, God leaves us here? God could beam us up, Scotty, if he wanted to after we got saved. But God knows that there must be a progressive revelation that brings a maturity to us. And in the element of progressive revelation that brings maturity, there must be trials and testings, not to condemn us, but to purify us into the nature of Christ. Who are you? "I'm the Christ," Jesus said. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this scripture in John 17:3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." So John says life eternal is only obtainable by knowing who Jesus Christ is. That's an amazing statement. all through the Bible, Jesus has been revealing himself. He's revealed himself all through the Bible. In fact, Psalm 40 verse 7 says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That's also quoted in Hebrews. "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me." I remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 11, "Who is like unto thee, O God? Who is like unto thee, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And I remember at the burning bush, when God talked to Moses, you see, he had really hadn't met God yet. He said, "I want you to go to Pharaoh." He says, "Okay, when I go to Pharaoh, who am I going to say sent me?" He said, "Tell him this, the I am sent you. I am everything. I am all power. I am all wisdom. I am all knowledge. I am all purity. I am all holy. Tell him I am sent me." That's who I am, Moses. You tell him I am. Isn't that amazing? He said, "Lo, I come in the volume of book. It's written of me." From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is in every book of the Bible. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Every book of the Bible, there's a typology of Christ. You can find Christ in every book. Genesis 3:15, "The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent." It's right there. Jesus is in the volume of the book. He reveals himself in every scripture. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the Word of God not only is quick, living, and active, but it's sharp. It sharpens our perspective on who God is. It sharpens our perspective in who Jesus is and what his desire is for us in this world. Jesus, he desires that we would have a broader understanding of who he is. Let me give you an example. Someone, they can accept Christ and they become a Christian. Then they get sick. Well, they know him as Savior, but do they really know him as healer? There's two different things. Maybe they know him as Savior and healer, but maybe they're dealing with a financial crisis. Do they know him as Jehovah Jireh? You see, a mental consent to the names of God doesn't produce a faith that's active. There are people that probably can quote scripture better than you and I, historically know everything that Jesus did. They learned it in some college, but that doesn't produce faith. What produces faith is being with Jesus Christ every day, wanting to walk with him and talk with him, laying down the things that displease him, picking up the things that do please him. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is revealing himself. Why is he doing that? Because he wants us to know who he is. Amen. Well, who is this Jesus? Let me just give you some things from the scriptures, who he is. Not only is he the Christ, not only is the Son of God, in Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of walls of life that broke down. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our day spring from on high. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's our lover and bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's our prince of peace. Jeremiah, the righteous branch. Lamentations, the weeping prophet. Ezekiel, the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. And Hosea, he's the faithful husband. And Joel, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. And Amos, he's our burden bearer. Obadiah, the mighty to save. And Jonah, he's the resurrected hope. And Micah, he's the babe born in Bethlehem. Nahum, the avenger of God's elect. And Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist. And Zephaniah, he's our savior. And Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. And Zechariah, he's the fountain opened for cleansing. And Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. That's just the Old Testament of who he is. You know, he's Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's ram, Isaac's well. He's Jacob's ladder, Moses' rod, David's slingshot, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. The rose of Sharon, the honey in the rock, the desire of all nations, the wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God. And Revelation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, coming back to judge the world in righteousness with fire in his eyes. 10,000 on a horse coming, and on his thigh, the Bible says, was a name written, who he is, a name no one else can have, not John the Baptist, not Elijah, a name written that no other name has, King of kings and Lord of lords. Give him a praise, somebody. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Christ? He's more than we could understand. He's more wonderful than we could ever perceive. We can't put him in a box and say, I just know this. No, it's always expanding. The bottom line for church, it's got to be a place that we expand our understanding of who he is. How many believers, how many denominations, how many Christians have not really understood that the next great revelation of Christ is not shepherd, is not healer, it's King of kings. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name and cast out devils? He said, you don't know who I am. I'm coming as a king. I'm coming back to set up my kingdom in this earth and in heaven. And I've chosen you to begin the process of being part of that king. How many believers, like the five foolish virgins, are asleep, thinking the church is a social club or something just to hang out, and not realizing it's a temporary institution to produce in us the character of Christ, the power of God, and to give the world a lighthouse because it's in such darkness? Give them a shout, somebody. Who do men say that I am? Who do they say? Am I the Christ? Am I the anointed one? Am I the Son of God? You see, Jesus wants to be known for who he is. Many times we judge people, but we really don't know them. You only know 5%. You know, they say you only know 5% of someone that you don't live with. You only know 5, maybe 10% of somebody that you go to church with. And we make judgments about people on 5 and 10%. No wonder Jesus said don't judge, because you don't even live with them. And even if you live, even in marriage or with children, whatever, still, the real person is the hidden man of the heart. And many times things are clouded, and things from their past and abuse, they kind of cloud who that person really is. You see, Jesus saw through the woman at the well that was in an immoral relationship, and she had had five husbands. He saw past that, and he looked into her, who she really was. You're not an immoral woman. You're a woman that has faith. Why did he know that? Because she says, well, our forefathers worshiped in this mountain. What does that say? She had a connection and understanding about worshiping God. And so Jesus pushed away, says, You don't even have a husband now that whom you're living with. But that's not the issue. The issue is, do you want to get out of that and do you want to know me? Because, see, I'm the living water. I'm the living water. That's who I am. I'm living water. Ain't no man going to help you. Ain't no man going to take you to heaven. I'm the living water. And if you drink of who I am, you're never going to thirst again. You're never going to wander again because I am the fulfillment of everything to every man. Give him a shout, somebody. Paul, the apostle, at the end of his life said, you know, that I might know him. Know him. Know who he is more. Paul, come on, man. You've moved in things none of us will ever move. You wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, Revelation, and you still say, you need to know who he is more. The step to backsliding is not just temptation and sin. It's losing a desire to know Jesus more. Because if I lose that desire, then I'll begin to shrink back. And it's not all head knowledge. You know what the young people in our generation need? An experience with God. You can debate all day long about Scripture and Jesus. They just need a Damascus Road experience. They need to be in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Come on, somebody. And I'm praying that God will move so powerfully to knock some people off their horses and put some people in some bellies so that they'll call out to the living God, for he loves to show mercy. That's who he is. He doesn't have mercy. He is mercy. He doesn't have love. He is love. He doesn't have truth. He is truth. That's why he said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm not only the Son of God and Christ. Number one, I'm the way. I'm the way. There ain't no other way. You know, Pastor Deb and I, we've gone on different trips and stuff and used GPS and still got lost. One of the things I hate to do is get lost with my wife. Come on, man. Because she knows I'm not going to stop and get asked directions. Amen. I hate to get lost. If I get lost with myself, well, praise the Lord. I'll get a Dunkin' Donuts and a donut I shouldn't have, and I'll find my way. But with my wife, I don't like to get lost. Maybe it's an ego thing. Come on, man. Smile. I know you're sitting there. I don't like to get lost. I like to be on the way. He said, I'm the way. I'll guide you. And then he goes, you know what? This is who I am. I'm the truth. I'm never going to lie to you. I tell you what, is there anybody out here that had someone that you trusted, they lied to you? Am I the only one? Have you ever had somebody lie to you, and man, it felt like somebody punched you in the stomach? You know what? Jesus said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm not a liar. What I said, I'm going to do. What I spoke, it's going to come to pass. He'll never lie to you. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, but I'm not only that. Let me tell you else who I am. I'm the life. You're not going to get life without me. You can survive on the planet. You can be in a state of depression, but you're not going to have life without me. You see, sometimes we are content with the life of God we have now, but actually the day requires we need more of him. We need more of his life. How many would like more of God and less of you? I said, how many would like more of God and less of you? You see, until I come to that place, it's like I'm draining from a battery of human DNA, my own flesh, but that can only take me so far. You see, I can only be so patient when I'm draining from my battery. I can only be so kind from my battery. But see, when I'm drawing from the life of God, you can hit me on the cheek. I'll tell you another, you can spit at me. You can curse me. It has no effect. But if I'm drawing from my own batteries, man, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to defend myself. Well, Jesus didn't. And if he's our example, because see, I've learned this long time ago, vengeance is God. I don't have to pay anybody back evil for evil. Bible says, bless them. My wife and I, we had to bless, I bless them, Lord. We bless them. Bless them. That's all we're done talking about. Bless them. And meant it. You see, he said, who am I? I'm the way. I'm the way maker. Tremaine Hawkins. Lord Jesus, I listened to that 30 years ago. The way maker. I'm the truth. I'll never lead you in darkness. God is not tempted with evil. He tempts no man with darkness. And I'm going to be your life. I'm going to be your source. And sometimes we live in a generation, and we'll begin to close, of codependency. So many people are codependent. I'm not here for anybody to be codependent upon me. I'm here to tend you, feed you, help you. You see, sometimes we don't understand the shift in our soul with our emotions and feelings that we shifted to a codependency on somebody, even spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean someone can't mentor you and help you and be your friend. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a weird thing. And we look to them like we should be looking to Jesus. Let me tell you, there's no celebrity preachers. There's no celebrity thing. Listen, it's Jesus. Preach Jesus and Him crucified and resurrected. That's what the church, that's what we need to hear. Because of who you are, Lord, I can stand. And I can see you are the miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. See, that's who He is. That's who you are, Lord. And so my job is not just to have a mental, intellectual, theological, doctrinal state of mind. It's to be a seeker of God. It's to get up and seek Him alone. It's to be alone on the hillside with a few sheep when your brethren rejected you and your father rejected you from even coming up to the feast. Still, out of a sweet spirit, sing, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? You just playing on his harp. That's life. Not ambition. Not being up there, Eliab. Well, we're in the army, David. You're not. What are you doing back there? All you do is sit around, tend a few sheep, cry and weep before God. Why are you up here for the battle? Let me tell you, we talk a lot about spiritual warfare, but we never should run to the front line and take a hold of the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of witchcraft if we've not been alone with our captain. The devil's still smarter than us. We don't want to believe that. He's pretty smart. He's got most of the world deceived, going to hell. Now, his power was broken at the cross, but he still has the power to deceive. Jesus said, I want you to know who I am, Peter. He said, Lord, you're the Christ, first of all. You're the anointed one. That's what Christ means. You have a supernatural anointing. You are anointed to come and to break the power of hell. But you're not here just for that. You're the Son of God, who's the Lamb of God to take away our sins. And there's an expanding understanding of Christ, but Peter nailed the two things primarily who Jesus is. Then we build on those to break the power of the devil, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the anointing that was on Christ, and to be the Son of God, give His life. Because of who you are, we are here. Because of who you are, you ordered our steps here to this house. Because of who you are, you gave gifts unto men in my spirit. Because of who you are, when I could have went to the right, you led me away. Because of who you are, I haven't lost my mind. Because of who you are, I haven't grasped and held the fear of death. Because of who you are, my strength is renewed like the eagles. Because of who you are, even in struggle and apparent defeat, you come around with your victory. because of who you are. The regrets and the failures of the past no longer hold me. Because of who you are, the words when I was growing up or a teenager, the cruel words or words that should have come from my parents but didn't, because of who you are, I'm no longer bound by that lack. Because of being made fun of in high school and people, whatever, because of who you are, it don't matter. I'm not living my life by someone else's insecurities. Because of who you are, I got through 2020. Because of who you are, I wasn't out begging bread. David said, I've never seen the righteous begging. Because of who you are, I can get up every day and face what I need to. Because of who you are, I can be an example to someone else and strengthen their faith. And because of who you are, the best wine is saved till now. Because of who you are, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Because of who you are, my path, like the noonday sun, gets brighter and brighter every day. Because of who you are, I'm confident in this, that you, who began a good work in this piece of work, is going to finish it. And because of who you are, you're going to make everything beautiful in its time. God changes the desert to an oasis. God changes the seasons for our benefit, not His. God gives us breath and days to fulfill, to prepare us for heaven. And when we see Him, who He is, we'll be changed and be like Him. Yeah. Because of who you are, I stand. Because of who you are, I live. I have my being, I move. Because of who you are, where I come short, and the Bible says we all come short. Because of who you are, when I come short, you reach down. You reach down where I come short. Don't ever look at brother and sister like they come short. We all do. You're looking at a miracle in progress. There are some miracles that are instant. There are some miracles take a minute. But the biggest and the greatest miracle is salvation. And with salvation, there's a working out of that miracle. When we get to heaven, when we stand before Jesus Christ, we'll realize healing was a blessing, provision. But the greatest miracle, He took me from darkness to light. Because of who you are, Lord, we stand tonight. If you're watching tonight, Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you as the Christ and the Savior, the Son of God. And if you're away from the Lord tonight, or maybe you've never accepted Him, there's a prayer you can pray. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'd like you to pray this with me if you're watching. Just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, that's right, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe you died for me. I believe I'm forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, just contact us at rockchurchpetersburg.org. We'd love to see you in the house of God. We have services on Sunday at 10:30, Wednesday at 7. We do all the social distancing. We take care of that. Come and be part and be blessed. May God bless you tonight. Let's give the Lord a hand.